Y'all hear me okay back there? Brother Thomas, I'm loud enough back there?
Amen.
Second Chronicles chapter number 7, and then Leviticus chapter number 6. I'm not on, Brother Barry says, you know. I am.
I just got a big mouth.
I must be muted up there or something, brother. I ain't got jack. Y'all figure it out. Sit the little boxes on, brother. I'm going to use a handheld while he gets that figured out.
Second.
Chronicles chapter number 7. Now this ain't on.
I'm fixing to throw a fit. There it goes. Second Chronicles chapter number 7. Leviticus chapter number 6. When you think you've got this, it's on.
Well. Coming through there now, brother? Yeah, right. Thank God. I hate to hear somebody hear me have a fit on the internet. Amen? You can probably bump me back down just a tad now. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. We'll say that one more time. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." I'm going to read that one more time and we're going to pray. He said, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Fathers, we come to you again tonight. Lord, we got a little aggravated and got a little ill spirit, God, with the sound system. And Lord, just seem like the devil can take little things and just distract you and get your mind off where it needs to be. But God, I pray you'd help us to center right smack dab in the middle of your will tonight. God, that we'd say what you'd have us to say, do what you'd have us to do. God, I pray you'd touch us and help us, God, to be a help and blessing to our people. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible said when Solomon made an end of praying, that the fire of the Lord fell and the glory of God filled the house. I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight about when the fire falls. We heard Monday night over at Northside probably the best or greatest message I've ever heard on the power of God. And not just seeing the power of God, but having, possessing the power of God. I don't know, some people aren't accustomed to seeing God move like you and I are. We've been in meetings where we've seen the fire of God fall. And brother, let me tell you something. When the fire of God shows up, you won't have to wonder if God was in the place. You'll know it. You won't wonder if it was in the flesh. It'll be God and you'll know it's God. There'll be no way man could concoct what went on in the meeting. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want the fire of God to fall again. Amen. Don't you? Amen. I'm talking about the power of God, real revival. I want to see that again. I don't think the church will be here that much longer, but I'd sure like to see God move one good last time. I don't mean one good service. I mean something that would make a difference. I remember when I was a kid, We down here in New Georgia, where the, what they call that golf course, somebody, the Georgian, that used to be where we deer hunted and where we went four-wheeling and played in the woods. And I remember one night, a buddy of mine, and I shouldn't have said that out loud because they probably still looking for him, but somebody I know set that place on fire. And let me tell you something, when the fire comes, it don't look the same. Are you listening? When the fire comes, it don't look the same. When the fire of God falls, this place won't even look the same. When the power of God fills your heart, it'll change the countenance on your face. We won't have to say how you doing. There'll be a glow about you. I promise you, when old Bobby come out the door last Sunday morning, Sunday before last, he got saved, I turned around and said to somebody, "Man, it looks like a light came on inside that guy." You know what happened? The fire fell, and he didn't even look the same anymore. I remember when some of you used to glow. I remember when some of you used to have a happy countenance on your face instead of a sad countenance all the time. Amen. I was trying to think of who it was. It just jumped in my mind who it was in the Bible. Maybe it was Nehemiah when he went in before the king, and the king asked him, "Why is your countenance sad?" It wasn't Nehemiah. It was, wasn't it? He said, "Man, you don't have to know that something's wrong in somebody. You don't have to hear them say that something's wrong. All you got to do is look at them and tell." Amen? I don't got to wonder whether or not, or ask you whether or not your heart's right with God. I can tell where you are spiritually, and you can tell where I am spiritually just by the countenance on our face. Amen. How many of you knew I got aggravated with a sound system a while ago without me having to say a word? Amen. You can tell, can't you? Amen. When the fire falls, hey man, you burn something, it don't look the same. Amen. We went over there one night and we went coon hunting after that fire came. And I'd hunted in them woods forever, man. And I'm talking about some of the thickest old briars and brambles. Yeah. Clutter. Ground clutter. I noticed after that fire came, Brother Warren, we turned them dogs loose. And boy, you could walk in there just so easy. You know what? You know what it did? It burned up everything that was bad. It burned up everything that was aggravating. It burned up everything that was a hindrance and left nothing but them pines. It didn't even hurt them pine trees, man. Hey, they just kept them growing. But all the briars and the underbrush, it was burned away. All that junk in your life, when the fire of God falls, it'll burn it out of there, boy. That sin you've been struggling with, God can burn that thing up too. That broken heart you've been dealing with, God can burn that up too. We just need the fire of God to fall again. Amen. Won't nobody have to say, "Did y'all have revival?" Amen. I want the testimony of this church to be again. That place is on fire for God. Now we're going to look at some things. Go ahead and turn to, what did I tell you, Leviticus 6. But I want to look at some things tonight. I want to draw this one thought. If I don't get any further tonight, it'll be okay. The Bible said in the scripture we just read, "Now when Solomon had made an," and I know I done told you to turn, but listen to me. Here's what he said. "When Solomon made an end of praying, the fire fell." It took something on Solomon's part. Yes, sir. I wonder how many of you remember Elijah when he went up on the mountain and challenged the prophets of Baal. Did the fire fall? Yes, sir, but not until after what? Elijah prayed. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? We're going to have to get back on our face if we want to see God move again. If we want to see God work in our homes, in our lives, in our family, we're going to have to subject ourselves to prayer. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to pray. It don't just fall out of the sky. God just don't run by and say, "Boy, they got the place cleaned up and they got some new asphalt on the parking lot. They got some new speakers. I think I'll just bless them." No, sir, it ain't that kind of stuff God blesses. It's the agonizing in prayer and calling out to God. And God says, "I think I hear something down there in Villarica. I believe I'll just send a little fire that way." Yeah. Amen. When he had made an end of praying. Thank you, Brother Tom. Look over to Leviticus chapter, what did I tell you, 6? Look at Leviticus chapter number 6. It's talking about the same thing. It's talking about the temple. Or this is the tabernacle here. Look in verse number 11. No, 12. And the Bible said, "And the fire came upon the what?"
Altar.
"And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering." Right here, God is giving the Levitical law. The Levitical law. He's setting up the order and how they are supposed to do that. Did you know God's got an order?
Yes, sir.
God, let me say it again. God has an order. I mean, he gave them every minute detail of how they were to conduct themselves in that tabernacle and how they were to conduct themselves in that temple. And by the way, he's given us detail on how we're to conduct ourselves in his house.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Some of us got just a little bit too loose.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
A little bit too carefree.
Yes.
But we ought to take serious again the things of God. We ought to take serious again the house of God. Hey man, these people, the children of Israel, they built their lives around that tabernacle. Everywhere that tabernacle went, they set that tabernacle up, Brother Freddie, and they would encamp around it. Amen? Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you ought to build your life around the church of God. You ought to build your life. Hey, I'm not talking about build your life around the ball field. I'm not talking about build your life around deer season. I ain't talking about building your life around your hobbies. I'm talking about building it around the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, God can save somebody in a deer woods, sure. He can save somebody at the ball field. But I guarantee you, he does it a whole lot more right here.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody made this statement. It was last night. We were about to go out on visitation. We were talking about sports or something. And me and John, I believe it was Brother Robbie. That's what it was. And John made the statement, my little brother. He said, sports will keep a lot of kids out of trouble. It will. But it won't keep them out of hell. Amen. Y'all all right?
Yes.
Somebody said, well, y'all just expect us to go to church all the time. You got something better than that?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all talk to me. You got anything better than that? Well, you got anything down there at the movie house better than that? You got everything down there at the skate rink better than that? You got anything better than that down here where they're cruising around and smoking dope? You got anything better than that where they parked off down some dirt road making out in the middle of the night? Hey, I'm telling you, it's good to build your life around the house of God. I think you ought to be a part of everything. I think you got kids that are teenagers, they ought to be in a teen group. You got kids that are little, they ought to be in the Patch and the Pee Wee Club. I mean, everything that's going on, we ought to get smack dab in the middle of it and show up and be there. Amen. Amen. Why did they set their tents up near the tabernacle? They didn't have far to travel, boy. Amen. Y'all all right? They built their lives around that thing. And God put a fire on the altar. Amen. Who started the fire? God starts the fire.
Amen.
But it don't just keep burning all by itself.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah. Amen.
We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 1 that the fire of God descended. It came down.
Amen.
It didn't come out of sound system. It didn't come off a soundtrack.
Amen.
It didn't come with a gospel group. It didn't come with a praise and worship team.
Yeah. Amen.
It came after following obedience.
Yes, Amen.
The fire fell when Solomon made an end of praying. The fire fell on the altar in Leviticus chapter number 7. God makes a big deal about altars. All through this Bible, everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. And boy, he had returned back to where he built an altar. Jacob built an altar. You go all through the Bible and study the altars in the Bible. Study the altars in the Bible. Hey, they were physical altars where physical sacrifices are made. But now there ought to be an altar in our heart, and we ought to go back and rebuild the altars of God. Amen.
Amen.
Get back to the place where we cry upon the altar. Amen. God made a big deal about those things.
Amen.
And now they make no big deal about them at all.
Amen.
I've been in some of these churches, you preach your heart out. I mean, brother, you give it all you got. People are sitting in the pews weeping, conviction gripping their heart, and the preacher don't even get an altar call. See y'all. Brother David Gibbs got done Monday night. And Brother Larry Brown was supposed to preach next. And I done made up my mind. I knew he wasn't going to preach. I said, he's going to give him an altar call. I know him well enough because it was time to pray.
Yep.
Wasn't my church, wasn't my place to say, but it was time to pray. I believe especially every man of God in that church, they was preachers and pastors all through there. Every one of us was itching to get down there and do business with God. Amen. There's a time for that, brother. Phooey on the schedule. Phooey with the program. Hey, thank God we've got an altar we can go to. It was time to pray. And we ain't never, ever, ever going to sidetrack that around here. Why? Because people come in with burdens. Why? Because people come in with needs. Why? Because people come in lost and on their way to hell.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to make a big deal over the altar. Amen. Fire descended on the altar, but God sent the fire. God sent the fire to Elijah, to the altar. There's something about that fire showing up in the altar all the time, ain't it? Amen. Huh? Well, I'll pray when you get home. You won't do it.
Amen.
You won't do it. I done made up my mind. If Brother Brown started preaching Monday night, I was going right on because he wouldn't have cared. I was going to that altar. I was tore up, buddy. God got right up next to me. He squeezed in between me and Brother Charles, put his arm around me. He said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. This message was for you. You fought everything in the world to try to get here tonight. This is why. This is why. I'd already called Brother Freddie and said, I don't guess I'm going to get to come. I'm going to have to go to Rome, be with Sister Lori. 5 minutes before I had to decide whether to head to Dallas or to Rome, Brother Michael called and said, you go on to church. She'll be okay. I was ready to get in my truck and go to Rome. But God knew there was something I needed in Dallas. And I sure wasn't going to see God go through all those means and all those things to distract me and keep me from where I ought to be. I wasn't going to see God go through all that and me sit there and do nothing with it.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? You say, yeah, but you're the pastor. You shouldn't need to go to the altar. No, I need to go to the altar more than anybody in this place. Amen? I got a bullseye on my back, brother. The devil wants to take me down. He wants to stop this mouth. He wants to stop the power of God from working in this place. I need the altar. And you need the altar.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just a place to get saved.
Amen.
I've used the altar thousands of times since I got saved.
Amen.
I only used it once to get saved.
Amen.
You say, I thought you got saved outside under a pine tree. That was my altar.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. But I've went back over and over and over.
Amen.
I've come to the altar just to lay there and weep.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's those utterings right there. It ain't got nothing to do with healing of Boss Shande and all that. It ain't got nothing to do with that.
Right.
No, sir, brother. Just weeping for God. God reading my heart,
yes,
boy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've laid there and just wept before God. That's what that altar's for.
Yes,
that altar's for times when I've come and I've had to say, God, I'll give this up for you. Sacrifice. It's still a sacrificial altar. Amen. It's still a place to come and lay the burdens down in your life, the sin in your life. How many of you have ever had a sin you couldn't stop?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Bigger than you.
Yes, sir.
I don't guess Brother Warren mind me telling. It's too late if he does. I forgot to check with him before church. Brother Warren used to smoke heavily, like a chimney. And he got serious about that thing and realized everybody that smokes say this, I quit anytime I want. He come to the point in his life he realized he couldn't quit anytime he wanted. You know what he did? He went and got a man of God, an old missionary. He said, I want you to go in the back room with me and pray that God would take this thing away from me. Amen. Why? Because my sin's bigger than I am. My flesh has got bigger than the spiritual man. I need some help, and it's going to take a supernatural thing for me to overcome what's overcoming me.
Yes.
And boy, he got in there and prayed and had that old man of God. It wasn't a little lip service prayer either. It was from the heart and it was serious.
Amen.
You know what happened? The fire fell in the altar. You know what got consumed? The Marlboro man. The Marlboro man went to hell that day. Amen. I believe, if I remember him telling me right, he never touched another one. Is that right? He didn't taper off, no chewing gum, no patches, nothing like that. Just tapered off. God said, gone. You say, well, it don't work like that for everybody. For everybody who's serious, it would. Amen. Say, boy, preacher's talking about smoking. No, I'm talking about sin, whatever it may be. I'm just using Brother Warren as an example. We want the fire of God to fall without the altar, without the sacrifice, without having to give up anything. We want God to be God in our lives, but we want us to be us. It won't happen that way, friend. Every time. You want God to move every time. You're going to have to give up something. You know what? That makes it sound like a negative, but it's not. Warren didn't give up anything. He gained.
Amen.
He gained. Listen, let's look at it this way. Instead of cigarettes, let's say his problem was a tumor on his brain. Well, I don't really want this tumor on my brain, but whew, I just don't want to have to give it up. That ain't the situation, is it, hon? No, no. You're thankful for a doctor who knows what he's doing and can skillfully go inside where normal people can't go and remove what's killing you. Brother Warren didn't lose anything by losing that sin. He gained some years on the end of his life. We look at everything backwards, man. We need to get to the altar sometimes. I mean, first time for salvation. Sometimes just for praise and adoration. Sometimes we need to come and just sacrifice the thing that's keeping us from Him. If there's something in our lives and we feel like God is needling that thing out, and you know it's keeping you from a right relationship with God, we need to come and mean business on the altar. Amen. You know what? Fire of God may just fall and consume that thing. Amen. I remember in a revival meeting one night, and I've told this before, preacher got to preaching real hard on sin. I don't know why I'm saying about cigarettes tonight. I ain't after nobody. I promise I'm not. You smoke, that's between you and God. Amen. It's killing you, not me. Amen. I ain't beating you up. Yes, y'all nod your heads. I'm not mad at nobody. Amen. But I'm just telling you what happened. It was in a revival meeting. An old boy, the preacher preached on sin and all this stuff, and the old boy came in during the altar call and laid his, the preacher's talking about put your sin on the altar. The old boy put his cigarettes down there. The same preacher just preached all that junk, went over there just like this and kicked them things out in the auditorium, said, God don't want your stinking cigarettes. I thought, what an idiot. Amen. Stand there and tell people to bring it to God and then kick it back in their face when they do. Yeah. Amen. He said, what gives me the right to bring all my junk to Him? He told you to. He said, casting all your care upon me, for He careth for you. I'm telling you, man, you can bring it to God tonight. I don't care how dirty. I don't care how vile. I don't care how wicked. I don't care how far you've sank in tonight. You can bring it to the altar tonight. When you originally had your sin dealt with, it was at the altar. Is that right? Wherever you bowed and asked Christ to come into your heart, and He saved your soul, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it was in an altar. Amen. It may have been an altar in your living room. It may have been an altar by your bed. Wherever you knelt to pray, that was your altar. Yes. Amen. So when sin piles up in our lives again, why don't we just bring it back where we got it right the first time?
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Amen.
Whoo. The fire descended. But you got to understand, God makes a big deal about that altar. And I'm not so much just talking about this one.
Yes,
we ought to use this one more than we do.
Yes, sir.
And I'm talking about this one.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you know what? When I told you I probably wouldn't finish this. Can everybody see me?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what this is? This is an act of submission.
Amen.
Are you listening? It's not just where we kneel, it's how we kneel. It's taking that old haughty spirit and bowing it humbly before God. It's taking that old pride that's keeping us away. It's the Bible said it was pride that went before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Hey, I'm talking about that nose stuck in there. Bless God, He ain't got no right to preach to me like that. Yeah, I do. The Bible gave it to me. Amen. That's when we come and we humble ourselves in submission to God. And we say, God, yes, you're right. Yes, I'm wrong. And God, I want to do something about it tonight.
Amen.
Amen. He told that little old woman, he called her a dog. She didn't get mad. Brother Earl Hughes said, what would it took to run you off? She didn't get mad. You know what she said? She said, you're right. I'm a Samaritan. I'm not a Jew. But even the dogs can get the crumbs.
Amen.
It falls off a master's
Amen.
Table. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, wow.
Yes, Lord.
I ain't seen no faith like that, not even in Israel.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
She humbled herself. We're going to have to humble ourselves. And I get tired of repeating it over and over and over. Quit pointing at everybody else.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about me getting right. You get right.
Amen.
Don't worry about your neighbor getting right, you get right.
Yes,
amen. I can't get you right, but I can get me right. I can't bring your sin to the altar. I can pray God to deal with you about it. But I can bring mine. And I'm going to bring mine. And I'm going to keep bringing mine. That preacher said Monday night, Brother David Gibbs said, oh, the first step to having the power of God is you got to get clean. We don't hear that preached much anymore.
Amen.
Holiness.
Amen.
Holy. You don't hear that word much no more. Amen. You know why? Because we live so unholy.
Amen.
We live so ungodly. And we get so accustomed to that, we get to the place where we have to manufacture God in our churches.
Yes.
Ashley called this afternoon, my daughter. She said, Todd's hung up working way over yonder in Ackworth somewhere. Don't be hard on him. Slack as they've been to work, get it while you can. There was a time when I'd have huffed and puffed and grunted and thought, good night, man, we can't have service without our piano player. I realized a long time ago the service ain't in that piano. It ain't in that sound system. It ain't in who sings what. It's in who we're singing to, amen. Boy, God showed up for them Wesley brothers with no music.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Well, hey, I'm for it, brother. I love it. I love that choir. Brother, Northside's choir sung. Buddy, if we ever get our choir going again, there's a song, I Came by the Way of the Cross. We're going to sing that, brother.
Amen.
I may get them to go ahead and get that one down. That bless my heart. I'm not against all that. I'm just saying. We don't have to have that for God to show up.
Amen.
You know what he said? He said, we're two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of thee. See, all we need is me, you, and God. That's all we need.
Amen.
I'll take the great music. I'll take the great crowds. But, Brother Freddie, we don't have that for God to work. We don't have to have it. It's not a necessity for God to work. All we need some people who Chronicles said if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You know what God said? Then will I hear from heaven. It still works. You know how long it's been? I got through praying in the altar Monday night at church and couldn't get up because I was surrounded by people and I just laid there weeping. But I could hear, Brother Freddie, all around me, men weeping before God. You know what that is? That's a symbol of brokenness.
Amen.
We don't see brokenness much anymore. We see people come to the altar, and I'm not saying you got to cry, but boy, God deals with you just right. You will.
Amen.
Something's wrong when our heart gets so cold that we can't.
Yes, amen.
And I just sitting there listening, and I was just like, Lord, you can still do it, can't you?
Amen.
You can still break my heart, and you can still break their hearts.
Amen.
I said, God, what you've done here tonight, would you do at our church? Would you break our hearts again, God? Not over the condition of our city, not over the condition of the teams of the world, not over the issue of the government and the policies and all this, but God, just over the issue of our heart, would you break our hearts about ourselves again?
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, I crawled up in that altar Monday night, I didn't pray for you. You wasn't even on my mind.
Amen.
And normally when I pray, that's what I'm praying about is you. But boy, God wasn't dealing with me about the church Monday night.
Amen.
He was dealing with me about me.
Yes.
The fire descended. Thank God the fire fell. Thank God, Brother Charles, 15 years ago or so, them little old young'uns started singing Bibba and Ashley and Mitch and Jason and that little old crowd. I got pictures of them. They don't even... They look like little twerps, man. Now they're grown and all got babies. Boy, me and Brother Freddie went last night and we went on and visited Amy Foster. Used to be Amy Mays. And boy, we got in the car. That's all I could do, just contain myself. Because the whole time I was sitting there holding her baby in my lap, I remembered her growing up in my house. I remembered her shouting, giving glory to God, testifying. Boy, I miss that. God can send the fire. The fire descended. But then the fire is demanding. We want the fire, but then when it comes, we don't want what's involved with keeping it burning. The Fire will come when we get on the altar and get clean. But then we got to stay clean.
Amen.
He told those priests not to let that fire go out. Their job was to keep that fire burning. Their job was to keep the wood cutting and in order and in place, that the fire of God not go out in the house of God. Hey, it's going to take work to keep God moving in this place. We got to keep our every leader in this church, whatever our area of responsibility. If it's the bus ministry, if it's Sunday school, if it's a Sunday school class, whatever it is, man, that's a big responsibility on your shoulder. And it's every bit on mine. We get used to it. We get used to going through the... I remember Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons.
Yeah.
Boy, they just going through the motions. Boy, they thought they was all that in a bag of chips. And they just take what they want and do like they want it. God don't work that way.
Amen.
God don't work that way. We get used to every time we're getting up, God blessing us. And boy, we get in the place where we think, hey, I got this thing down pat. I don't even need God anymore. Hey, the fire will go out in your life.
Amen. Amen.
The fire will cease to burn. The fire descended. But then the fire had some demands. It had some demands. We started that pastor's prayer team a couple of years ago. Why? To encourage us to pray. We have prayer rooms on Sunday night. I walked into the prayer room Sunday night before church. You know the only person who was sitting in there? I had a prayer request to tell the ladies to make sure they got down. Candace was sitting in there by herself. I know we have busy lives, but shame on us. Shame on us. 30 minutes. 30 minutes early just to pray. We break our necks to get everything else done. But that just doesn't seem to have quite the priority.
Amen.
Well, God dealt with me about this stuff Monday night. I mean, peel my hide. I'm not beating you over the head. I'm giving you what God gave me. Where is prayer on your priority list? Well, I'm in church every time the door's open. That ain't worth shooting if you ain't praying.
Amen.
I go visiting every Saturday, so... what good's a powerless visit?
Amen.
Somebody said the church is strongest when it's on its knees.
Amen.
Yes. The Jehovah's Witness knock on doors. That don't mean they got the power of God.
Amen.
They knock on about 100 million times more than we knock on.
That's right.
The Mormons ride their bicycles knock on doors. That don't mean they got the power of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We need the juice on what we got.
Amen.
We need the power of God so real that when we know, open, knock on the door, the person on the other side opens it and said, I hope you're here to tell me how to get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's the kind of power we need.
Yeah.
Last night we made that visit. I believe the Lord was there before we were. We interrupted their supper. Me, Brother Freddie, Brother Dwayne, and four of Brother Freddie's kids just went right on in their house. And we had a good time, didn't we, brother? We've got to bathe everything we do in prayer. Look, you got prayed to get you saved.
That's right.
You're going to have to keep praying to keep the fire burning in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to have to keep doing. You remember what Jesus said about that church in Revelation chapter number 2? He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love.
Amen.
That thing you used to be excited about, you're not excited about anymore. That thing that used to, man, you couldn't wait till it was time to go to church. You'd knock off work and come in your dirty clothes.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I remember digging ditches all day in mud up to here. Stopping somewhere and taking a water hose and spraying my clothes off, going into church with wet boots on. Because I didn't want to miss what God had for me. I loved it. And that fire is demanding. We talked about this the other day when I talked about building a fire. Man, keeping a fire burning takes work. It takes work. The fire descended. The fire's demanding. Then in Exodus chapter number 27, I believe it is, where he talks about air of the lamp in the house of God went out. Oh boy, we see the fire dying. We see the fire descending. We see the fire's demanding. But then if you look around in this world we live, the fire's dying. Churches like ours aren't growing leaps and bounds. It's only the crowd that's offering the world what they want.
Amen.
We was out in Texas here a few weeks ago, and I don't want to make nobody mad. I'm just going to tell you how I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. We was riding down the road, and the preacher said, "You know what's big out here?" I said, "What?" He said, "Cowboy churches." I said, "Cowboy churches?" I said, "That sounds pretty cool." He said, "Let me take you by one." We rode by this church, probably seat 2,000 people. It looked like a barn. Pretty barn, but it looked like a barn. And it said something on the sign, "Such and such cowboy church." He said they wear their cowboy hats and their boots and they sing Western songs and pray cowboy prayers and preach a cowboy message. And I thought, you know the biggest thing wrong with that? There wasn't no sinner coming down the road looking for a place to get saved, but he just didn't happen to be a cowboy. Jesus didn't just die for cowboys. He didn't just die for bikers. Red, yellow, black, and white. All are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He died for all. It'd be a cold day in a booger man's house when this church gets interest specific. Where we're going after just one certain crowd, baloney. We're going to get on this altar and we're going to pray that God send the fire. And we're going to do our best to keep ourselves right so the fire keeps burning.
Amen.
So that the fire don't start dying. You know whose shoulders it fell on when the fire started dying? The preachers. Ain't no fire in the pulpit, can't expect none in the pew.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How can I expect your heart to be on fire if mine ain't? I got to be honest with you now, my heart's on fire. I'm excited again.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited in a long time, Brother Freddie, I'll be honest with you. I've been going through the motions, worrying about the bills. I've been more concerned about praying that God would pay this place off. Y'all all right? I about let it drive me nuts, give me a nervous breakdown. My name's on the note. Boy, God plowed my road Monday night. He said, "You worried about the wrong thing." He said, "Them finances is the least of my worries. What good would you be with a paid-off building without me?" So from now on, I'm going to pray, God, keep this place on fire. Oh, Lord, God, save sinners. Lord, let them walk the house. Let us baptize boys and girls. God, please keep it burning and pay off the building. Amen. He didn't tell me I shouldn't pray for it. He just said I had it in the wrong spot. Amen. Amen. What we see tonight is a shining light, a sustaining light, but then a stifled light.
Yes.
I had a dream last night. I don't put much stock on dreams, but I dreamed about our church. I was sitting right back there somewhere near the back. It was full of people. There was a rock and roll band up here, and people were doing like this. I dreamed that last night. I woke up mad. I thought, "Whew, it was a dream." I put my head back on my pillow and went to sleep. You know, have you ever done that? Picked up where you left off in a dream? It's about 4 o'clock this morning. I laid back down. I wished I'd have just got up because the preacher got up next. It was Michael Mooney. Had on a little golf shirt. There wasn't no pulpit. Had his NIV and his little poem and his little talk he was fixing to give. And it scared me. Why? Because it's possible.
Yeah.
If we let the fire go out, we'll live a generation who has to generate it themselves. What happened to all these churches that's gone liberal? Somebody down the road let the fire go out, and the kids are doing the best they got they can with what they left them. I'm getting to the point I need to go to Brother Charles' Sunday school class. Learn how to get old. Brother Larry Brown said, Monday night, had a little preacher boy with him. That little boy said, how old are you, Brother Eddie? I said, I'm fixing to be 45. He said, you don't look no 45. Brother Larry said, he's looked like that for 20 years. He said, I've been praying your hair would fall out. But I am. We're on the other end of this thing, Brother Charles. We're at that place where we need to start thinking about making out our will. I'm talking about our church. I want to leave the fire of God. I want to leave the power of God. I want to leave a King James Bible. I want to leave the right kind of singing. The right kind of worship. I want to leave soul winning for our people.
Amen.
Let's pray God send the fire again. Send the fire. Elijah prayed for it and he got it. Solomon prayed for it and got more than he bargained for. It got so hot they couldn't even stay in the house. Some of y'all been around here a while. I remember one night in the old building, Brother Charles was seen it one time here, when there was literally a fog. There literally was. You remember that? I mean, you could just look. I mean, maybe we'd cried so much. I don't know what it was, but you just look across, it looks like a haze. That's what the Bible said, smoke filled the temple, boy. Don't tell me what God can't do. I've been where he's at. I've been in there where God was surreal, couldn't nobody stay in their pew if they wanted to.
Amen.
I've seen the altars full all the way around on both sides and all the way down the aisles. I've seen it right here when God moved. I want that to happen again.
Amen.
I want to leave that to our children.
Amen.
Bibb and them, you sing that song by the lighthouse. I want this to always be the lighthouse. Let's stand to our feet tonight.
Just out of curiosity, ask yourself tonight, how long has it been since I really felt it burn? Really, really felt it burn in my heart. That God was real. When you get where God really is, first thing you'll see is yourself. Your sin will be like God took a yellow highlighter and just lit it up. You won't be able to help but to feel sorry and confess it. It'll break your heart that you're not where you ought to be. Not because you let your church down, but because you let your Savior down. People are already in the altar. Boy, you come. God bless you, Chris. Boy, y'all pray for this young man. He wants to do right, boy. Pray God to do something in his life.
Amen.
This ain't the way we usually end on Wednesday night. Boy, shoot his mind, God, tonight. just tell God about it. You're here tonight and you need some help. You need to hear from heaven. Won't you come? You need somebody to pray with you. I'll have somebody meet you in this altar and help you pray. You may be here and not even be saved. I'll have somebody take a Bible to help you tonight. God, send the fire.